I'm going to get started, and if those people walk in,
yeah, I think we should
their
start.
Own fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We're gonna start off a video, because videos are always good, and then we're going to get started. So let's
just to make everyone aware and awake from the lunch.
Awake from lunch. Here you go. A bit of movie watching.
So think about this. How often are you alive when the dawn of a new medium comes out? I knew that I had to be a part of VR because there are no rules for what VR should be. Starship Commander is a choose-your-own-adventure VR narrative that uses natural language processing so you can actually have a real conversation with the characters.
I'm Sergeant Sarah Pearson. I've been assigned to your wing today.
When we started making Starship Commander, we had to figure out, how do we get technology that can understand what a person's saying so that we can have these new narrative experiences? We're a science fiction game. We come up with new words. No off-the-shelf software could let us put in custom words.
Who are the Ekneans?
In our story, the bad guys are called the Ekneans. And every time we said Eknean, you would come up with really weird words that were similar to other things that you would say. And so it would get confused all the time. So we needed to make sure that we could supply our own script. We started using Microsoft Cognitive Services to power the back end of Starship Commander.
Looks cool.
Once we plugged custom speech service into Starship Commander, I had tears in my eyes when I was playing it because it's like,
oh my god.
Oh my god, this is it. This is the experience we want. Open the hatch.
Voice print accepted. Welcome, Commander.
You can essentially put your script in there and it knows, oh, these are the ways that people are going to talk. And these are the phrases that they're going to say.
Cool. What's my mission?
It must be something pretty important.
And then the second thing, too, was the intent detection. With Lewis, you basically give it a couple statements. After you've given it a couple statements, you crunch it and you start typing in your own statements. And it's shockingly scary how good it picks up even stuff that you didn't put in there.
Computer, use autopilot and let's be on our way.
Autopilot engaging.
I've never seen an opportunity like this where there's a wide open playing field. No one's written the rules yet. There's going to be tons of amazing software out there, and I just can't wait to see what other people write.
Okay. Now, this isn't a gaming session, before you know, but it is pretty amazing to see the work that our Cognitive Services team doing in terms of the endpoints they're putting out.
Exactly. Welcome, everyone, for the Data Analytics Kickoff Session in Ignite 2017 in Gold Coast. I hope the video was exciting. Good to start. Awesome.
Yeah, quiet audience.
Quiet audience.
Quiet audience.
Very quiet.
We always start that way, don't we? First we should introduce ourselves. So my name is Trevor Sansom.
My name is Sudarshan Roy.
Yeah. We are what we call the TSPs for the Data and Analytics Platform for Australia. So Sudarshan and I have the privilege of covering the whole of Australia collectively and talking to customers about sort of technical architectures, demos. We're not meant to get into troubleshooting. So that's a bit of a word of advice. If we come along to you, don't rope us in. But we do a little bit of it. So let's get started. We want to start off with this. So we live in a world that's seeking artificial intelligence. And I want you to ask yourself, what is artificial intelligence? But better yet, ask yourself, what is AI? It's always been the promise of doing things that we do on our own, but in a much more efficient and powerful way. It's the voice of a customer asking for an experience which is guided with intelligence. We like to call it a concept of interwoven intelligence. For us, if you think about services like Azure SQL Database, which is our platform as a service offering, we're able to enable and disable indexes on the fly with our machine learning algorithms in the background. Skype has had real-time translation for a couple of months now. It's solving problems that many families fight on a daily basis. And Cortana leads a vision for bots that are so innately personal that we embrace a new medium without hesitation. I sit at home now and I get yelled at if Xbox On doesn't turn on the TV. It's a form of naive intelligence, but it's expected now. Above all, though, if you think about it, this artificial intelligence can only happen with information. It's not the raw data, it's information that involves many people along the way.
Cool. So all the companies, whether it's big and small, they're all innovating and they need to adjust themselves to the new patterns. Now, what are patterns? The patterns are all aligned with the new services. So if I just look into Azure Data Services today, we have more than 15 services which you can take advantages of. I will just pick a few of them. Cognitive Services APIs, which allow you to build really powerful apps in just a few lines of code without even knowing anything about the machine learning. But if you want to build advanced predictive models, we even have a cloud-based analytics tool known as Azure Machine Learning. Now, let's get into the data stores. Now, we bucket the data stores today into two categories. One is data stores, one is big data stores, which makes our life easier to explain. Under data stores, we have the NoSQL Azure. We have Azure and NoSQL databases. Azure SQL DB is the same popular SQL Server on-premise, the same flavor pretty much you're getting in the cloud, where high availability, DR, everything is pretty much inbuilt. All right? And now you have, if you want to build a distributed global app, we have an enterprise-ready NoSQL service as Document DB. Now, finally, let's talk about the data store, big data stores, what we have. But now we are talking about a data of size, suppose 100 terabytes. But now if you want to go beyond that, like in petabyte scale, or you want to play around with a trillion objects, you want to store and analyze, we have really good services there as well. We have Azure Data Warehouse, we have Data Lake, and along with that, you can even have a provision on Apache Hadoop Cloud in the cloud, in Azure Cloud.
So, and that's just some of them. The key point there is that it's new patterns and methodologies. We see businesses today having to adapt to new ones, but also ones that are ever evolving at a very rapid pace. Development life cycles are changing like you wouldn't believe. Now, if we group some of them, the way we actually represent some of them is something we call the Cortana Intelligence Suite. And if you haven't heard about it now, I'm a bit surprised. But the Cortana Intelligence Suite, it serves a mission for our customers. Our customers want to transform data into action and reinvent their businesses' processes. Some of them want to more easily analyze hundreds of data points, massive amounts of data, just to view what happened, understand why it happened, predict what will happen, and answer that golden question of what should I do. It's only then that they can create this sense of interwoven intelligence for their customers' experience.
So this stack as a platform enable us to interact with the devices today more intuitively. Now, when I say more intuitively, like what? Like we can connect, we can touch, we can have natural language capability, we have a framework, we have a conversation as a platform with bots, which we're going to talk about it later. So it's all about, if you see the evolution from touchpad, from keyboard, we are moving to a more human-like capabilities with emotion, touch, fingerprint, and all those things, which making our life much easier on a day-to-day basis.
Definitely.
So one more thing I just want to talk about quickly is the whole suit, what you're seeing here under CIS, it needs a different skill set in a different discipline today. It's not that the skill set what we need earlier is exactly the skill set what we need today.
Yeah.
Again, if I want to talk a little bit about what are the skill sets we need and what we exist today is, again, the four superpowers in the team, the DBAs, the data engineers, the data scientists, and analysts. It will still be there. Mostly, if you see, data scientists is pretty hot today in the market. But some of the traditional roles like DBA and analysts will still be playing a very critical role in the whole process of this transformation. So we'll talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah. So let's talk about the data scientists and the analysts. And what's important right now is to understand these roles and which services and technologies inside the Microsoft stack they relate to. For you as well, it's also to understand what their passions and what their interests are, so you know how to interact with them. Data scientists, when we talk to them, what they love to find is the challenge actually to find high-scoring algorithms to solve any given problem set. If you talk to a data scientist, what's phenomenal to actually hear from them is their openness and willingness to share their algorithms, their IP, with other fellow data scientists. To do the tinkering for these high-scoring algorithms, what's becoming a reality is that they need massive amounts of data and varied data, and massive amounts of compute power at the end of the day. The Because of this, it's led to the realization that data scientists need their own environment. And this is why they look to services like Azure HD Insight and Azure Data Lake. Both of these usually sit separate to the business warehouse, and you can kind of think of them as experimentation playgrounds for the data scientists. Inside there, they develop world-class algorithms with their favorite languages, like Spark, Python, R, a new one I learned the other day called BrainScript, if anyone's heard of that. But what intrigues them the most is actually the algorithms that we have, like the feed-forward classification or the fast RCNN, which both come from our Azure Cognitive Toolkit. Now, if I was to switch, and the other thing is actually, data scientists, they understand the inner workings of algorithms, but not necessarily how to operationalize it, and that's where we see data engineers coming into play. But let's swap quotes to the analysts first. The other week, I was in a meeting where I, quote you not, marketing looked like they were about to strangle IT, if anyone's ever been in that circumstance. And the only glue that got us through the meeting was a lovely analyst who was able to translate the alien IT speak to the business. Growingly, the analyst is becoming known as the subject matter expert for the inner workings of the business, the KPIs for the business. But above that, they're having the ongoing conversation with IT to enable their sponsorship within all analytical workloads. Coupled to this subject matter expertise is actually them being perfect custodians for services like Azure Data Catalog or even modeling inside of Power BI. With the introduction of Power BI into SSRS 2016, we strongly think that analysts are going to lead to the minimalization of IT involvement in enterprise BI development.
Now, if you look into the DBA space, now that's a really getting hit. Now, Evan, I'm a DBA earlier, so I can talk about a little bit how the role is evolving and what's the expectation out of this. Now, DBAs used to be the kings and the queens of the performance tuning and optimization. They used to take care of making sure that all the queries run perfectly throughout the year. There is an SLA targets are met. It's a pretty switch-on role where you need to make sure that your high availability DR strategy is properly enrolled and even you have pretty much aligned with the best practice needs so that you can scale up as required. Now, with Azure SQL DB and even in the NoSQL services with NoSQL DB and Document DB, what we are seeing, the changes, is how that role is going to happen because high availability, DR, backups, everything is inbuilt today. So what we are doing, what we are seeing with the new capabilities in Azure Data Services from the intelligence space, which we talk about under Cortana Intelligence Suite, those things are getting ingrained into at the top of the data so that you can get more meaningful outcome and get a better insights. And that's where the DBAs can add more value. In tandem with the analyst.
Yeah. If we think of the data engineer, though, like I said before, they usually work very closely with data scientists. They're the ones who understand how to take the world-class algorithms that data scientists work on today and actually operationalize them. We're definitely seeing that data engineers have a strong coding background, and it's that coding mentality that leads them to be able to adapt to the ever-evolving new languages that you'll hear in the market. They tend to gravitate towards something like our new language, which is called uSQL, which is a mix between C# and SQL, and it exists in our Azure Data Lake offering. Like I said before, they operationalize. They're the ones who build the pipelines for Azure Data Factory, and then they're the ones who take the helm of getting the data out of those archaic sensors that you see in IoT situations and putting them into the Azure Event Hub. That's their world. They ultimately move data from the lake to the warehouse and to the end user, lighting up experiences like bots that enthuse customers. So with that, we are going to now dive into some of the sessions that you're going to be able to experience at Ignite this year. I know there are some of the speakers in the audience, so I'm hoping we do justice to your session as well. This year we decided to break it out into five different areas, and we stuck with data being one of the areas. The next data is big data. The third area is data transformation. The next area is analytics or intelligence, and the last area is visualization.
Yeah. So let's talk about something about the data store. So this year was pretty challenging for me and Travis both because we got almost 150 nominations, and out of which we got only 23 slots to pick and fill.
it was pretty challenging.
So under SQL, now we have a great release in 2016 with SQL 2016. The time just flies, right? It's just not even a year. Now we are talking about SQL V next. We are talking about SQL on Linux. We are talking about what's there. People are very curious about what's the vision and roadmap we have as a SQL space. So we will have a deep dive. We will have a level 300, I can say, a session on the vision by Lindsay. We are also going to have some more deep dive session on some of the great features we have introduced in SQL 2016, like Polybase updatable clustered columns to index. We're having a great session about some of the real life case studies across the globe by introducing this new feature, how customer got the benefit out of that. So we are going to talk about that. Finally, the document DB.
Flipping over to document DB. So we've got two sessions for document DB. The first one is going to be kind of your hello world document DB, giving you an insight on how to set it up, how to do it. And then next is going to be a deeper dive. You are going to be shown code in them, I've been told. A deeper dive, which is going to show you how to do things like partitioning and data modeling inside document DB, which is so crucial to scale out situations for document DB.
Yeah, and I just forgot to add that we're also going to have a session on hybrid data model, that is with a Stretch database, where you can actually extend your Stretch, your on-premise database to the cloud. So we are going to have a session on that as well. These are all the sessions which we are talking about, a pretty deep dive.
Okay, next, do you want to talk about this or is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, so the next one is going to the big data stores. And the first one is Azure SQL DW. So we've got three sessions on Azure SQL DW. I love the name of the third one. The first one we have is Polybase, so a deeper dive into Polybase, and we're lucky to have the actual program manager who owns Polybase coming and doing that. The next one is how do we design for big data with SQL Data Warehouse. So how do we design for those big footprints? And then the last one, a good old one, why is my SQL DW query running slow? Because we all want to know how to do that performance optimization.
Performance tuning and optimization.
Exactly.
Yep. So we do have a lot of session on HD Insight and Data Lake as well. Like for HD Insight, we are going to have a session on how to design a hyperscale pipeline that can handle petabytes of streaming IoT data in a real time, and you can do some on near real-time analytics at the top of it. So we will be having some session on that, plus some deep dive session on how you can have a better, robust, big data solution with Azure Data Lake.
The next one, data transformation deep dive. So we've got three different sessions for data transformation. The first one is SSIS. So we have a deep dive session on SSIS where they'll be going through scale out with SSIS. The next one is Data Factory. So we've got one session on Data Factory with orchestrating those big data pipelines. And there's going to be some comparisons in there with some other things as well, I've been told, putting some pressure. And then the last one is we've got Power BI. So we've actually got a session dedicated to Microsoft Power Query. If you've used Power BI Desktop, it's the editing experience inside of Power BI Desktop for queries. So we've got a deep dive on that, on how to use that.
Now, going back to intelligence, we are going to have a deep dive session, and it's more than a deep dive, I think. It's a more fun-based demo session by two of our local architects who are here, I can see, Tracy and Rolf. They will be delivering a session on Azure Cognitive Services. I think we should go for it. I personally am really looking forward to it. I believe the demos are really good, and you will love it. Finally, we are also going to have a session on R, because as you know, R server, enterprise-grade R is integrated with SQL 2016, and we are going to run a session on that as well by Hong.
So if you are a data scientist, that is your go-to session.
Exactly.
Just saying. And then I was going to say the last one, because I get to do this one, is actually my session. But I'm not going to say that's tooting my own horn. We are going to be going through the bot framework, and we're structured the session around kind of tips that aren't obvious for the developer. So not we're going to give a little bit of a demo on how to build one, but then go a lot deeper in terms of tips to actually make the bot successful, because that's what we actually all want.
Yep.
The last one, did you want to do the last one is the immensely popular Power BI
it's
with
very
visualization.
Popular at this moment.
We have three different sessions for Power BI this year. One is Power BI architecture, best practices and performance tuning. So how are you doing your architecture once Power BI actually gets rolled out? The next one is Power BI for the enterprise. So when we think about safely sharing data between different employees, I've had a couple of scares this year with some jobs that have potentially been lost inside of customers. And then the last area is Power BI for the developer. So this idea of getting your story to the web, if you haven't looked at Power BI Embedded today, it's a great service to look at for building out your custom apps and getting
for the
data
external applications.
Inside. External applications. So come along, 20 of them.
Yeah. Now, finally, we are having a session on Wednesday evening. Travis, do you know the timings?
6:30 p.m.
6:30. Yeah. This is something very unique. It's never happened before in Ignite, which we are trying to do this year, is that a direct connect with our engineering team. So it will be a round table. It's not like a round table. We have created buckets where people, where the engineers, the program managers will be coming on the floor and you can ask any question. But don't give them a hard time. They're pretty okay to get any kind of input from you guys. But no laptops, again, as you mentioned here. No PPTs, no demos. It's a pretty straightforward question, but it gives you a great platform to socialize with them as well.
Yeah. So two things. Wednesday night, 6:30, right? Yeah. But that second point there, ask the questions that you've always wanted to ask, not the ones that can't be answered on the FAQ. That's a key thing. So and then the other thing is that we're going to make sure that the session isn't recorded.
So
as
we can talk a little
bit
more
about the roadmap.
So
hopefully the engineers can go a little bit deeper without being worried of it going public as well.
Yeah.
So get those questions ready for the Ask Me Anything. We hope to see you there.
So let's quickly talk about some of the case studies around the world which we have. It's something really good from the cognitive services space and with the SQL Server. We are going to pick up one by one.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to start off with this one, and you'll notice that we're going to run through case studies. We can't explicitly name the customers, so it's a bit of a guessing game for you. The first one we're doing is a retail customer, and they're in the food space. That's all I can tell you. They do have a global footprint as well, and they came to us with an interesting challenge. They basically said, we need to handle online orders from more than 2,000 stores across Australia, New Zealand, Japan, the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, and France. At the same time, guarantee high availability and that low latency that they'd expect across the whole globe.
Yeah.
To do this, they used DocumentDB and got that globally distributed database with the guaranteed throughput, because that's how DocumentDB works. They went through and they've now replaced the whole solution from top to bottom, Service Bus to DocumentDB to Azure websites sitting on the front. So from the POS system to the website, it's all PaaS now. The other thing as well that's nice is it's an active deployment across the globe. So DocumentDB is one of our only services as a PaaS service which does that active. And the last one is improved reliability and faster order processing time than previous SQL on IaaS solution, infrastructure as a service.
Yep. The next one is about a real estate company. I can guarantee you it's not realestate.com or domain.com, but somewhere in the world. The requirement was about 150 million properties. Now, people can search with any kind of search thing, right? It's based on number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, the property size. The requirement was we want to make sure the queries can run less than 5 seconds, no matter how big it is. And we did achieve that. We did achieve that with clustered column store index in SQL Server platform. So we're going to have a session. Sunil, one of our program managers from US, is going to run the session. We're going to give you more insights about it. But it's really a great outcome we have got, as you can see.
The next one is what we call contextual searching of large set of research papers. Now, if you look at research agencies and institutes today, one of the things they'll tell you is that they have hundreds of research papers sitting in some vault or in some place inside the university or agency. One of the tricky things for them is when they have a researcher start out on a new topic, there's a couple of rules. So when they start out on a new topic, they've got to make sure that nobody else has done that topic before. And you think a simple, naive way of doing that is just looking up the title of the research paper, which is what they've done previously before. So this research organization came to us with that problem and said, we've got immense repository of data, all in the form of research papers. And then what they did is they leveraged the cognitive services APIs that we talked about before, machine learning and big data capabilities, to provide scientists to easily find research based on intent. Now, intent is the thing to concentrate on there. It's actually, they took each of the research papers, applied a machine learning algorithm over the whole research paper, and derived its context out of the words that were inside of that document through machine learning. It's phenomenal to see. It's easy to do now, which is amazing. The other really nice thing is they actually said, well, hang on, instead of everyone interacting with this with a website, why don't we innovate that experience just a little for everyone? And they actually set up a bot that behind the scenes was deployed out to the web, to Skype, to SMS, and to email. So you could email the bot if you wanted to. I don't know who does.
Yeah.
But who wants that? Some people want a friend on email. So they were able to ability to locate that content based on the intent. And then the other thing there is real-time prioritization of content and that search listing, all given to you by some sophisticated machine learning at the end of the day.
Yep. And finally, we have something to talk about with cognitive services. As we know that we have pretty much released 21 cognitive services APIs, including text, emotion, facial recognition. There's so many out of them. So we actually use one of the speech API and replace that, one of the IVR system in one of the government agency, with bots. That's what we did. We actually reduced the processing time by 40 minutes to 15 minutes. That was a great achievement. And I can tell you it happened in Australia. That's what I can talk about at this moment. So it's multilingual. It supports both English and Mandarin. You can actually train it with the past conversation. You can retrain the model so you can have a better functionality, better experience going forward. So it's a lot to talk about. And we had a great outcome and result. And we are taking forward it again to another extent.
I mean, that multilingual on bots is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
We have a saying, which is how easy it is to hire a person in a call center who can speak 23 languages. Let's challenge a bot to do it instead. That's the...
Just to add, we just released that, the deployment process, along with the demo videos of that in GitHub. If you guys are keen, just pick me offline. We can talk about it as well.
Yeah. But definitely think about the change impact of bringing yes. bots into the organization from every different corner. Okay, and that was our kick run through. Now, they've put this deck in here. So apparently, you can win a draw. Oh, we've got to get into this, Citizen. We can win a draw. You can win a drone pilot pass by completing your session evaluation. And it says they're ASAP as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a time thing
Not
there.
Not sure.
So we'll end it off there.
Yeah, thanks a lot again for joining us today. I hope, as you can see, we have pretty much covered the whole Azure Data Services along with SQL on-premise version. We covered the breadth and depth, and I hope you enjoy it. We would love to hear the feedback from you. Let us know. We brought pretty much 12 product PMs from the Redmond team directly for the first time in a huge way. And we'd love to see you and ask me anything session as well, which is happening tomorrow.
And we just like to say, inside our stack, like we talked about, there are 20 plus services. And
yes.
And part of your role today is understanding the purpose of each service, and then choosing which one to go deep down on and become the expert. So that's how we're structured the presentation today. The other thing we like to say is this idea of interwoven intelligence, everyone's going to play a part in that future. It's just about you crafting where your place is.
Everyone is going to be relevant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the other thing is, so we'll be over at the speakers lounge is one place, but we'll also be in the data platform booth on the showcase floor. And then the last thing is that if you do have select requests to actually have one-on-one with the speakers, please come speak to us because we're going to organize roundtables on an individual basis.
Yeah.
So that's both good for our engineering speakers, but also our local talent because they're phenomenal and they do amazing things.
Yeah, but again, just want to add that we don't guarantee that everyone will get a slot because it depends on how many requests we come, but please come to us. We will definitely try our best to incorporate that.
So finally,
my name is Sudarshan.
And my name is Travis.
We really welcome you in Ignite Australia to Data Analytics Track. Thank you.
Thank you.